This morning we have a guest from the AFCO class, David Shafrick from Alberta, Canada, and he has a message of his testimony he'd like to share with us this morning.
Morning. Well, I'm here to share my testimony this morning, and just as I was singing that song, it just shows how we can go through so many rocky paths and so many things, and I'd just like to share with you some of those paths I've been on. I'm just going to kneel for a prayer. Bow with me. Our Father in heaven, I just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us, Lord, those ones that we just take for granted. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be here with us, each one this morning, that we would seek a closer walk with you, Lord. And may your Spirit and may you be glorified in all that I say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll start out with, my childhood. I was born in the same, lived pretty much in the same area all my life. From Alberta, Canada. I live about an hour north of Edmonton, Alberta. So if you have any hockey fans out there, know about the Oilers. We're just an hour north of them. My family, we're very close family. I have two brothers, and my mom and dad were very involved in sports. I know I heard a testimony, not really a whole testimony, but talking about baseball and things like that, and that was our main sport. We really excelled in baseball. Of course, there was hockey too. So, my mom and dad were very good at that. They spent a lot of time doing that, and naturally, we as their children would carry on and follow along and follow them to wherever the sporting events led to. And we were very close. We also did a lot of hunting and fishing. That was what we did. Every year, we would go out and we would get a moose, and we'd fill up our freezer, and that was our lifestyle. We went out, we were go hunting, make sure we had meat in the freezer for the winter, and that was pretty much what we, meat and potatoes kind of family. My wife and kids, when I got married, we were also very involved with my family, so whenever we went on a sporting event or baseball or whatever for the weekend tournaments, my wife and family would come along and we would, keep together somewhat. And same with fishing and hunting, and we'd get a weekend off and we'd spend camping and do those things. So we were all very close. Then it all changed one day. It's a series that didn't happen in one day, but my wife was involved in what it was called, the Christian Women's Club. It was a community group in our town that all denominations would get together, and they would have this group, and they would meet maybe once a month for a special function or something like that. And she was the treasurer of this group. They would have also, during the course of this time, they would have their little Bible studies. So like maybe 10 ladies would come to someone's house and they'd have Bible studies. Well, my wife was hosting one of these Bible studies, and the topic was the Sabbath. So they went through the whole Bible study. They came to the conclusion at the end of their one-hour study that the Sabbath was on Saturday. Everybody was, yeah, wow, that's pretty neat. Let's have some coffee and have some cookies. And my wife was, well, hold it here. Why are we all going to church on Sunday? We just had this study, and the Bible says that we should be going on Saturday. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why did we just have this study? What was the point of looking at the Bible, studying this, and going through it all? So my wife, she stood fast with what she had learned from the Bible. She resigned her position as treasurer of this club. Nobody else in the group had followed and decided that that was the way to go. So anyways, she started to look into it further. Before this time, her brother had piqued her interest a bit. Well, not really. He just told her that he had heard some videos and passed on some videos about the Sabbath being on Saturday. And she just put it aside like it was no big deal. until she actually had this study herself. So anyways, as this progresses, she started looking into it more further. So she started studying with, there was an ex-pastor in our town, and I didn't know them at the time. This was all, I was still just, forget it, I don't want nothing to do with it. It was no big deal with me. Staying as far away from that as I could, because that was totally kooky to have the Sabbath on Saturday. So because of her witness and how she just continued to change all along the path that she walked on, she would, as soon as she heard about the health message, boom, she became a vegan right away. She just, this is what the Bible tells us we're going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And needless to say, this changed our whole family lifestyle completely. I had a freezer full of meat, and yeah, I was still, no way, I'm rebelling. I rebelled, well, for probably about a year and a half, that I just, no, I didn't want nothing to do with it. She's studying with these people. So anyway, she continued on, and she just kept on grasping all she could and changing right away. As soon as she would hear something, hey, the Bible says it, I'm going to do it. So all along, and my family, like my mom and dad and my brothers and everything, I mean, we always used to be a real close family with my wife and kids. Well, now my wife and kids are going to church on Saturday. She takes the kids with them. My weekend is now, I'm not going to church. I'm not going there. And so I would continue on going on my fishing, hunting trips, baseball tournaments, whatever was scheduled for, you know, that stuff. So it didn't really make a difference to me other than our family was being split apart. So my brothers and my mom and dad were just saying, this is all too kooky. I mean, they're your kids too. Shouldn't you be allowed to take them fishing and hunting? Well, the problem was, everything I did involved drinking alcohol, smoking drugs. It was all just part of the activity that I was involved in. It was just, that was our way of life. So everything I did revolved around that, and she was not going to allow her children to be going along with me when I'm drinking and smoking drugs and under the influence of this stuff, and it's just a bad atmosphere to be around. We could all still function fairly normal, or at least we thought we could, that we were, you know, doing good, and, you know, we still played baseball at very high levels, even though we were still partaking in all these things. It was just a part of life. Maybe it was a blessing. I know it's hard to say, how can it be a blessing that you drink and smoke drugs and stuff, but when I was about 19, I was on the provincial baseball team at that time, and so I was at a very high level, and everybody from our team got scholarships down here in the States to go play baseball, except me and one other guy. And it wasn't that I was worse than them or anything like that. It was just the coach knew my lifestyle, and I was a leader at that time, and people would follow me, and I would take them out, and we would go out drinking at night, things like that, and I was just a bad influence to have around other people. So I think for that reason, I didn't get to go and pursue that career that otherwise maybe I would have had an opportunity to if I was not on alcohol and drugs, and that led me away. So I don't know. I'm always looking for things like, why did this happen? Why did that happen? But we have to let God lead anyway. So at this point, my family was telling me to get away from my wife, and at least then I can, you know, have split custody with my kids, and I'll at least be able to see them here, because this was a very trying time, this first year and a half of her going into this Seventh-day Adventist stuff. She got baptized. She told me one day, hey, I'm getting baptized today. Would you like to come? No way. You go do your thing, and I'm going to do my thing. So we were being split apart at that point. She got baptized. She followed along with everything she could do. And there got to a point where when my mom and dad and brothers and everything would be saying, you know, you need to get away from her, that I switched sides. I started siding with her, saying, you know what? She's not doing anything wrong. Everything she's doing is good. She's following the Bible, and we're the ones that got the problem, you know? You know, and I came to the point where I gave up. I said, I'm going to hell, and she's going to heaven. I mean, she's following what she knows, and I am on a path that's going to lead me straight to hell. And I accepted it. I said, I don't want to change. I'm going. So it got more involved, like, you know, more. I was getting, like, totally wasted. Before I was, like, you know, I could still function, you know. I'd still get drunk or high or whatever, and I'd still function at a normal level, what I thought was normal. But now I started going in a little bit deeper, and it started to really, what goes up's got to come down, and I was coming down, and I came down, and I thought, hey, I'm going to lose my family, and that's the most important thing to me. So if I can't beat her, I got to join her. As I would come home from work, she'd always have a tape in. You know, every time I come home, there'd be Walter Vython or Stephen Lewis, if anybody's ever heard of that. It's in your face, but that's the kind of stuff that I liked. I like to just give it to me straight, because I don't like to beat around the bush if it's, and that's the way my wife was too, as you notice that when we hear something, that's the truth, we want to follow it. Anyways, during this time, my daughter, she was about 9 years old at the time, or 8 years old, and there was an evangelistic series. Is about an hour from our house. I didn't want to go, but my wife was going because my daughter was thinking about getting baptized, and she wanted to learn more, and she wanted to go. So she was taking her to this evangelistic series. At the time, I didn't want to go. That was right during hunting season. I had lots of other things to do. Anything else to do other than go to that. We went, or actually it was probably about the 10th or 11th night of her going and traveling at this time, and it was during the fall, during the rutting season of animals, and they were running all over the roads, and it was quite a dangerous time to be running, because, I mean, I knew those roads, what they were like and where the animals were, and it was not really that safe. And I says, well, I better take you tonight, because I know that there's animals right there and you're going to miss them, because it's always at night and, you know, it's pretty dangerous. So that was my excuse to go. I go to the meeting. Vern Snow, maybe some of you know, I think he used to be affiliated with Amazing Facts somehow. But anyways, he was doing these evangelistic series, and like I say, it was around meeting number 12 or something like that. It was, you know, a couple weeks into the series already. My first meeting, and I think it was Mark of the Beast. And that's perfect. That's what I needed. I could see that the Bible was real for our time. And that to me was like, whew, I can't believe that the Bible is really true. Like, I mean, it's telling events that are happening right now in the world. And to me, that just blew me away. And I was just going around telling all my relatives, wow, you guys got to go to these meetings. I mean, they're telling things that are right in the Bible. We got to go. And at this point, I mean, I'm really, you know, like, yeah, you guys got to go. But anyways, I went to the meetings. I think I went to every one after that, except the one that was on a Saturday, because that was my only day to go hunting. So I had went to the meetings. The seed was planted a little bit deeper, or started to grow a little bit. It wasn't just my wife telling me this stuff where the seed was originally planted. So as time went on, I eventually accepted what was going on. It took a process, though. I went to the church one time. I come from a small area. There's not many people, not many Adventists in our area. I went to the church one time, and there was six people sitting around a couple of chairs and around a table, and that was church. And I went and I said, this is not a church. See you later. I never came back for, it was probably about 8 or 9 months. And as things progressed, and I didn't stop drinking at that time yet, my lifestyle kept on going, same type of thing, but yet I knew that there was something else. I continued on. I started to realize that I needed to stop drinking. So I'd go like a space of maybe a week, no drinking. It got to the point where finally I just said, that's it. This is my last weekend. I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit drinking. I told my buddies, this is it. I'm quitting drinking after this weekend. So let's go have the big hurrah, and this is going to be it. I quit drinking cold turkey. I haven't drank now for about 8 years. Amen. And the next progression was stop doing drugs. I was out with my buddies one day smoking out of my pipe. And I said, this is the last one, boys. You guys want this pipe? No, we don't want your pipe. Into the lake it went, because we were fishing at the time. So threw it in the lake, and they were just like, wow, he's had that for like forever. And he just threw it away. So at that point, quit smoking drugs. So the next step was start taking Bible studies, and I went through a series of Bible studies with ex-pastor. We didn't really have a pastor at that time in our church, so he would come to our house and we'd learn, and I was just eating it all up. I mean, everything. Became a vegetarian, got rid of all the moose meat out of the freezer. That was pretty tough to do, but you know, my family's just like thinking I'm gone off the deep end. Anyways, so I got baptized. The first year that I was baptized, we're getting a little bit of persecution from the family. So my wife just said, hey, let's move to Saskatchewan, which is the next province over. Why would we want to move there? Like, that's crazy. My job, I got a good job. We're making good money. Everything's falling into place. We had just moved out into the country. Anyways, that was another step that we did, but went along. I said, over my dead body, am I moving to Saskatchewan? Had a bad day at work one day, came home, said, okay, let's go, wherever you want to go. It's amazing how the Lord works, but anyways, we take off, we go for a trip through Saskatchewan, we're looking at places, and couldn't find nothing. The last place, I said, let's just go home and forget this whole thing. This is not something we should be doing. And the last realtor we were at, we said, forget it, we're just going. And the lady says, no, I think you should go look at this place. So we go, we look at it, and I go, well, if we're moving, this is the place, because there's a beautiful country setting by a river, nice place for very little. Bought the place, it was 12 acres for $75,000, beautiful home, barn, right along the river, it's just beautiful. And so we move down there. We stay for 13 months, sell that place, move back to our old place. In the meantime, we were just renting out our other place, so we kept it just in case things didn't work out. So we moved back, and during that time, I always think, well, why was I there? There was a Share Him project going on at the time, so I ended up going to the meeting. I did a Share Him project there in Saskatchewan. So it was like I was really learning and starting to share what I had learned. And then the devil started attacking. At this point, we moved back to Alberta. I started my own business. I always thought, well, you know what? We're supposed to be the head, not the tail. I'd always worked for somebody else. I started my own business. Been in the cabinet making business for over 20 years. Start my own business, and now I'm ready to take on responsibility that I was not ready to take on before. Move back, and the devil starts attacking us. And during this time of doing this series, I came back to Alberta to go back to work because of what I was making in Saskatchewan. That's why the prices were deflated on the housing market. You don't make that much neither. So I went back, I worked back in Alberta, but at the time my mom and dad were coming down to Arizona, so they were going to be gone for a month. So I worked everything out, so I'm going to live in their house and don't have to worry about them. And I phoned up my relatives and says, I'm going to have a meeting every night at 7 o'clock. If you want to come, be there. Whether there's one of us, two of us, three of us, we're going to do this thing. So I had up to 15, 16 people coming just in the meeting in the basement, and started planting the seed there. So as this time goes on, and of course the health message comes up, and well, it's all about meat. Well, the meat thing is, you know, that's where we're totally wrong. And they just said, you mean to say to me that because we're eating meat that you're not going to get, or because you're not eating meat, you're not going to get sick anymore, you're not going to get anything, you guys are going to be free from disease? Well, what happens if now you guys have changed and your wife goes and gets cancer or something like that? I said, well, hey, that's a possibility, and we had a lifestyle before we changed. Well, about 2 years after he said that, my wife got cancer. So now what kind of witness is that? I'm thinking, well, Lord, we're trying to follow along. We're trying to follow your health laws. We're trying to do what you said. And now she gets cancer. So anyways, we go on through the progression of her illness. We want to try to fight this thing naturally and do all we can to get her well. There's some people that live about an hour and a half from us that know quite a bit about natural remedies and stuff, and we figure, okay, we're going to move down there. So I decided we got to beat this thing. We're going to do all we can right now to try to beat this thing. So we went down, we looked for some property around that area, found, me and my wife went and looked at it, beautiful piece of property, trees, 35 acres, half open, half trees, water. It was good, nice piece of land. We decided that, yeah, this is a nice place, we're going to do it. So she was pretty well at that time. I mean, if you want to call it well, I mean, she had already progressed. It already had went on for over 3 years. So it was over a progression, but she looked good. She still worked out in the garden. She still had my meals ready for me. Everything, she was still functioning good. She was still going through different programs of radiation treatments and things like this. But yet, we were still able to go, and she made decisions, and we were still functioning somewhat normally. Well, we buy the property, start digging some dirt, and within the first week, it had rained a lot. I was really trying to fast-track this thing, get this thing done. And anyways, one day this pumper truck for pumping concrete got stuck out in the middle of the field. It was just so wet. And before he went in, he says, you've got to sign a waiver here to say that if there's any damage done to my truck, you're paying for it. And so he's got this million-dollar pumper truck, and I'm like, well, I think he can make it. We got a cap to pull him in, and we're going to get this thing done because I want to get this thing done. I want to get it done before winter, and, I want to get my wife in there so she doesn't have to go through too much troubles. Anyways, he gets about a third of the way in, and he's buried right up to the bumper. Cats are trying to pull him out, and, I mean, it's just a total disaster, and I walk off to the side. It's like 30 degrees. It's just sweltering hot. I know you guys think, how can that be in Canada? But we're just sweating bullets out there. It's just hot and muggy, and everything's moist. And sorry, that's the dinger. This thing's going a little longer. Sorry. Anyways, I go and I'm praying off to the side and go, Lord, is this your will that I'm doing this right now? And please help me get out of this situation. I'm pretty sure I heard the voice was, pull the pin on this thing right now and let's stop this construction stuff. I mean, I couldn't tell for sure. I mean, that's where I want to know. I really want to know God's will in my life. And it's hard to know what that voice is telling you to do. Is it good? Is it right? I was pretty sure he said stop it, but at this point things were moving along and I didn't want to, I had already invested about $10,000 into it. I didn't want to just leave it. So we continued on with the project, and about that time, my wife really started going downhill. It was like almost immediately. So to make a long story short, this house building project got, I was about just done the framing stage of it, and my wife passed away. So at this point now in my life, I have this house that's half built. I've mortgaged my other house right to the hilt. Everything is just mortgaged right out. I just lost my wife. And I'm saying, Lord, I cannot handle anymore. I said, I think I've reached the breaking point here. Please do not give me any more. And the Lord promises that he won't give us any more than we can handle. And I'm pretty sure I was at that, I can't handle no more. He didn't give me any more, but needless to say, I had to finish this house. The Lord blessed me with a person to come in, take care of my child. I have two children. Miles is usually here a lot of times. He's doing homeschool. I have a daughter that's 16. So anyways, this whole thing comes up with this house. I said, Lord, I'd like to go to this AFCO program, but you see the situation with this house. I ended up finishing it last winter. It stayed on the market all summer, right until I started praying about this AFCO thing. Lord, if you want me to go to AFCO, I've got to get rid of this house, and you know that I can't go unless this house is gone. So if you move this house, then I guess I got to go to AFCO. So I started dialoguing with Denise here, saying, could it work with my son being here? Is it possible? And she said, well, put in your application and we'll see. So I started going through the processes. 2 weeks later, my house sells, just boom, everything just goes quickly. Totally done deal. It was November 15th. And that's the reason I'm here today, is because the Lord has brought things into such a process that I have to just follow him and go where he's leading me. And so many times I've always looked back and just said, why, Lord, why is this happening to me? How can I do this? And I have to just say, no matter what position we're at, we have to just say, Lord, I have to leave it in your hands. I have nothing but faith that you're going to work this out for the better. I don't know how it's working out, but I have to just trust in you. So that is where I'm at today. I'm just leaving this in the Lord's hands, and wherever he's leading me from here, I just pray that I will be able to follow him and things will work out in my life, and that he's in charge. Amen. So I'm just going to close with a quick word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings, like I say, Lord, that you give us each day that we take for granted. And Lord, each of us go through trials and tribulations, and through all of this, Lord, we have to just remember to follow you, because you are really looking out for us. You are taking care of us, and you do care. And I pray that you will continue to lead in my life and lead in the people's lives that are here today, and however this may lead in their lives, to know that whatever trial comes, that we have to trust in you, Lord. You've led us in the past, and you will lead us in the future. So I pray, Lord, that we continue to follow you wherever you may lead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.